Case number 12944, Coastline Properties LLC, seeks a special use exception for parking and loading requirements and variances from the off-street parking requirements, the front, side, and rear setback requirements, and the landscape buffer requirements in the combined highway overlay zone for proposed structures. Section 11580, 11562, 11582, and 11594.1 of the Sussex County Zoning Code. The property is located east of Tulip Drive, north of Coastal Highway, and west of Savannah Road. The 911 address is 97 Tulip Drive in Lewis. The zoning district is C1. The tax parcel is District 335, Map 11, Parcel 93. The applicant is seeking a 37 parking space variance from the 113 parking space requirement, a 20-foot variance from the required 20-foot combined highway overlay zone buffer requirement, a 20-foot variance from the 30-foot rear yard setback requirement from a residential district, 10-foot variance from the 20-foot side yard setback requirement from a residential district, 8-foot variance from the 60-foot front yard setback requirement for a proposed building, and we added 20.6-foot variance from the 60-foot front yard setback requirement for the existing building. Staff would also like to note, when the existing building was built, there was a 40-foot front yard setback requirement from Coastal Highway. And we have 0 letters of support, 0 letters of opposition, and 0 mail return.
Mr. Chair, I must recuse from the case. Thank you.
Would you like to stay and help us close the meeting after this?
I trust you can handle that.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, I will also have to recuse myself.
All right, sir. Would you like to stay and help us close the meeting, Mr. Williamson?
Nay.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
Mr. Sharp will swear you in.
State your name and address for record, please.
Scott Lednam, 36818 Bayside Drive, Fenwick Island, Delaware, 19944.
Rob Plitko. I'm with Plitko Engineering, 53 Atlantic Avenue, Ocean View, Delaware.
You both swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Yes.
Thank you.
So, I'm Rob Plitko with Plitko Engineering. We're assisting Mr. Ludman with the development of his commercial site. A little history of the project. It's an existing commercial development housing Creative Concepts, a family-owned business in business for approximately 50 years. On the site is a furniture building of 12,000 square feet. And he also has a granite facility that has, been there for some time. Our firm is currently developing at the commercial site with more buildings, and so we're the uniqueness of the property is that it's a corner lot, and Mr. Ludman's had several times of DelDOT has taken the front of the property, and he's lost some usable land up front. With the corner site, we're restricted on the one side on Tulip Drive. We have an additional restriction on setback there. And then the rear setback, we are bordering two residential properties, so we also are having an increased rear setback and an increased side yard setback, and we are seeking to revert back to the original 10-foot rear setback and 10-foot setback for a commercial development. So these conditions are not created by the applicant. They are he's had this property for some time, and he's complied with DelDOT, has taken the front of a portion of his property, and all his other current buildings also comply with the current regulations. So in moving forward, we would like to develop additional buildings to double the square footage that is currently contained on the site, and to make it a profitable for him. In doing that, with the amount of square foot that he has proposed, we have We have to meet the parking requirements per the code of Sussex County. And in that, we're seeking a reduction in parking from the required 113 spaces to 76 spaces. Now, we can talk a little further more on that, but the existing furniture building is pushing our number quite high with the number of spaces needed, and Mr. Ludman can probably speak to that later, that, you know, per the code, we're required 30 spaces, but, you know, on a typical day, he may only have five people coming to the site. So we want to try to, you know, balance the site with as much retail as we can and not have a lot of open parking places. And, you know, we want to abide by the code, but we also want to make it a realistic approach to the site so he can have as much retail space as we can. And with the setbacks here, we have on the one side of the property there is an existing stormwater pond, and going to a 10-foot setback, we don't feel that, you know, that's out of nature with the project. I mean, that's probably never going to be developed, and I think it's quite a nice buffer there already. There's a walking path and a fence and some vegetation, and then in the rear of the site we're also requesting a 10-foot setback there as well, and we're required a 30-foot due to a residence there. We have an existing fence there on site already. And we would retain as much vegetation as we can to shield the neighbor there. He currently has some existing sheds on that property line. So we don't feel that would be such an impact to his site. And we're in line with the nature of the area as well. It's a highly commercial area, a lot of traffic flow. We're not changing the character of the neighborhood. And I think it fits well with the location of his project. So we were also seeking a variance too with this. We have a proposed building to the right of the furniture store, and we have a slight encroachment of the proposed building. And I believe when we looked into the code, the furniture store already is encroaching into the setback, and it appeared with the code we could be allowed to place the front of that proposed building in the same plane of that furniture existing building, but due to fire marshal requirements and circulation of the site, we've placed it where we have it. So we've shown a small triangle of encroachment, and but that's and for Mr. Ludman, that's the best use of the property is to have as many retail buildings out front as possible. So we are seeking a variance on that corner of the proposed building, encroach into that setback, and again, I think we are. It is possible to push that building further, but we're choosing to keep it as is to fit in with the proposed site plan. And then we have this. We also are required a 20-foot buffer in the front of the project. Currently, it is already developed with parking. I believe. There has been several cases of DelDOT taking the front property. And so his current parking goes all the way up to the property line. And we have a 10-foot current grass strip in the front, parallel to Coastal Highway. That's the most buffer. It's off his property. But currently, as the state of the site is already developed, we cannot abide by that requirement. So we are seeking these four variances really to maximize his site and can finalize the development of his family-owned business that he's has been in his family for quite some time. And that's it for me. Would you like to add anything?
Well, I just wanted to say good evening, everybody. I've been to many workshops with DelDOT at Cape Henlopen. Actually, this was supposed to be wiped off the face of the earth many times, grass. We had a property on 113. The bypass was going to, their outlet was going to be in Frankfort where our other location was. That was going to be wiped off and turned to grass, or not turned to grass, turned to roads. And then we had a property on Route 26, which is on Woodland, for the expansion of Route 26, which DelDOT actually took our property and it didn't allow us to build. So at that time, Jim McCluskey was the head of the DelDOT I worked with, and my father kind of started getting a complex that you're trying to put us out of the furniture business because they attacked every location that we owned. With that said, the reason I'm here is because at least 2 to 3 times coming out of Savannah Road and Route 1, they've made our property smaller. Well, now it's coming back to haunt a little bit, being that we don't have the property that we used to have, granting the expansion of what's going on around here. I had that issue when Lynn Rogers did my billboard. I worked with him for about a year to get the billboard, but that was another issue with the setbacks because we had property that was now taken, so it was an issue. So looking for some leniency and some help here, some understanding. We've been in business over 50 years. My parents have passed away since then, so they're not here. But the goal was to expand the property and for a future, for this future and development. So,
any idea what kind of businesses will be going in there?
Yeah, that's a $1 million question. I can't honestly answer that. I can speak for the furnishings, being in the business for 47 years with my family. We're lucky if we have 5 cars out there at one time. That's a good day. It tends to be a large ticket item. So we're not a McDonald's, or we don't generate a lot of trips in that matter. And then the back building, which used to be our warehouse, has a granite shop, but only 700 square feet are retail. The rest is pretty much fabrication. So even though there's 16,000 square feet on the property now, it doesn't warrant a lot of
trips,
basically. If they have a couple of cars or 3 to 5 a day, they're lucky too, you know, if business is good. So, but to answer your question, I have talked to the back building with the granite. They would be interested in expanding that as a showroom, and then the existing building would turn into total fabrication of that building. So I would like that taken into consideration, if you could, on your decision. So I don't know who's gonna would rent there.
Questions?
Explain what's going to happen to all these granite slabs that are currently outside.
I told them they'd leave. They'd go. No, I'm kidding. I talked to her because they've been renting for over 12 years, and we have a good relationship. And some of the trees on the back would have to maybe come down, and they would have to maybe store in the back of the building because there's probably about 25 feet there. So, or the back side, because that is definitely an issue that they would have to be relocated.
Is the granite shop and the furniture, are those both family businesses?
Well, I'm no longer in our family business. I took a buyout, and one of the things in my buyout was to take this property. The back is Jen. She has her daughter, and I guess that is not affiliated, but I guess it's a family business.
Is the purpose of these buildings, is the idea that you're trying to maximize profit?
Well, obviously retail is better than parking places, yes.
Yeah.
And at the cost of it, to justify the cost of what it's going to cost to do all this, I need more retail than I need parking, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Is there anything else about the uniqueness of the property or what you're doing here that creates a need for these three buildings besides just maximizing profit?
Well, the idea for the back building was for them to have a larger showroom as the granite shop, and maybe expand their business.
Okay, so building number one would be to expand the granite shop.
Yeah, the back building. Yes, sir. Okay. Yes, sir.
How much of your property was taken by DelDOT?
Well, that's a good question. It's been over many years, and I my memory's not that good, to be honest with you.
You have a guess? Are we talking 5 feet or 30 feet?
You know, I really don't. I know I've been to many workshops. I called I.G. Burton, Steve Smick, happened to be friends of mine, and asked them for help in not eliminating their business altogether and the whole property after 50 years of being in business.
I know that's changed quite a bit from how it used to be coming out of Lewis to what it is now.
Oh, yes, yes. Yeah. Well, hadn't all Sussex County in general?
That's truth.
Yes, sir.
Truth. That's been there a long time, though, that furniture store.
Yeah.
Have you started anything yet with site plan approval? Has anything been done there yet?
We've met with planning and zoning. So they've gone over the site.
Because even if we were to grant the variances, you would still need site plan approval, correct?
Yeah. Yeah. So we wouldn't start with this first to see what. Now, so like, I think it's a reasonable request for the 10-foot setback for a commercial site. So most of all his proposed buildings would fit within the setback. And then we could figure out how to deal with the parking.
Are there any variances, other than the parking spaces, are there any setback variances needed for that building number one in the rear?
Building one, yes, because I'm showing it currently at a 10-foot setback, but it's abutting a residential property, so then they are required a 30-foot setback, so we're asking for a reduction in the 20-foot.
A 20-foot reduction
more,
on that.
20 more feet. Now, you currently already have, there's already a fence back there, and the existing house is about 80 feet beyond building one. So it's got, and it's a very commercial area to begin with. There's a commercial business directly adjacent to him.
Tire Center, I believe. Good.
So, I mean, if we were abutting a commercial property, he would have a 10-foot setback.
Right.
Yeah.
The code has an increased setback for residential for a reason. I guess my biggest concern is that the motivation or the reason for this seems to be profit, and profit is more of a want than a need. That's why I was trying to look, is there other reasons why you need these variances other than just maximizing retail space? You have any other idea or thoughts or reasons why this is needed?
It's really to, make it so it's worth doing. If we cut down the retail a lot, then the cost of everything else of the infrastructure, is huge today. So,
right, because it's going to cost money to build parking, but you don't make anything off the parking. You've got to get the space.
Yeah, and this gentleman's very expensive, so that's the start of it, to be honest.
Was this the furniture store? Was that building there? When was that built?
Walt Wilson built that building, and Charlie Zonko renovated the building when we originally bought it many years ago, maybe 25 years ago.
Okay. Walt, it's been there quite a while.
Yeah, Walt moved up north and started doing developments and everything. Fox Run, I believe, and
at the time it was built, it was in compliance, if I understand correctly.
Well, I'm sorry.
Ms. Norwood, maybe you could inform me on that. It was in compliance when it was built. Okay. I don't have any other questions.
So it's a stone parking lot right now, or stone driveway?
It is. Yes.
And is it proposed to be blacktop or concrete or?
I don't think I'd have the money at that point. I talked to about just stoning it, leaving it pervious, because that's a huge additional cost.
So all these additional parking spots and buildings and everything else, I mean, there's no kind of stormwater plan that is necessary or anything like that?
Well, ironically, many years ago when I developed our 6 acres in Frankfurt on 113, I was working, I moved a tax ditch, and I had to get approval from, there was wetlands in the bottom of the tax ditch, and I had to go through Corps of Engineers and DENREC and the whole nine yards to relocate that to make the property buildable. So I learned a lot with how much stormwater management took of a property, and since there's only 2 acres there, I came up with the idea probably 18, 19 years ago. I went to my father and said, hey, we got a big pond beside us, and we happen to know the developers, so we called for a meeting and met with them, and they actually granted us, they did their calculations. The Lockwood brothers were the engineers at the time, and they actually did the calculations, and we actually installed the stormwater pipe about 18, 19 years ago, maybe longer, to house all the stormwater management, and they had an outflow at the end. So that's kind of been in place for a long time, but the money wasn't there to really develop the property. You know, business got good, business got bad. We struggled. We almost shut down one store. We had Del Dot wanting to take our property, more than one property. So, and then now I usually would have my mother and father in the audience supporting me, and they were not here long enough to see it. So,
well, I'll add too. We met with Sussex Conservation District, and we have approval to discharge to the village of Five Points through what Scott's. They have an existing pipe installed to that pond. The rest will flow as is to Route 1 to pre-developed conditions. So we aren't required to have any stormwater facilities on our site.
Mr. Sharp?
Thank you. You're aware that if the board, and it's a big if the board were to approve these variances, that these would have to be constructed within 2 years, correct?
All the buildings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Otherwise, they lapse.
Okay. I understand.
And I think one of the things that is a bit troubling, it seems like we have some idea of what building one will be. Obviously, we know what the existing granite shop is for and what the existing furniture shop is for. But it sounds to me like there's not necessarily a plan for what the use would be for the other two buildings, particularly the larger building three. And I mentioned that's seems to be a bit of importance because the use will sometimes dictate the number of parking that's needed. For example, a restaurant with a bar will likely need a lot more parking than a granite shop. So do you have any kind of idea what those other buildings are going to be used for?
It's a good question. My dad's and mom's vision a long time ago was to have a one-stop place, so that would I guess complement our store. So let's say a kitchen place, you know, something to do with housing, interior design, the business that we're in, but not compete with us.
But you're not in that business anymore, is that correct?
I'm sorry?
You said you're not in that business anymore?
I am not.
Okay.
No, I am not. My brothers actually rent from me.
Okay.
And they still carry on Creative Concepts. So, and I don't think it's going anywhere anytime soon. I hope not, for the struggles my mother and father gave.
Right.
You know, didn't even sell furniture, and we started in York Beach Mall in South Bethany in a 1,500 square foot store.
Yeah.
And we We came to Ocean City and lived in one-bedroom beach efficiency, and us three boys slept on day beds in the living room, so.
Been there a long time.
Yeah, my parents were really overachievers and great vision. But they knew they didn't want to open up in Ocean City. They knew Sussex County. They had the vision that York Beach Mall in South Bethany, which is now a grotto, is where a store used to be, and it used to be one small store. My parents were very incredible, and they worked 7 days a week, 9 a.m. till 9 p.m. And just gave. So that we could all have a better life. So, and they succeeded. Yeah.
This is a common issue on our site plans. Something like this, where no building is built yet. We're going in with a retail use and planning for that type of parking, but you don't know, there's no renters yet. So you almost have to build a shell, get the units rented, and we don't know who it could change to a warehouse.
Sure.
And then it would only need one space. They might only have two employees or something. Then they only need one parking place. So, and that's saying, I sort of brought it up earlier about the furniture store. We're showing 12,000 square feet. It's requiring a lot of spaces, but they only have five spaces being used, and 15 other spaces are empty. And what, you know, it's a lot of square footage just sitting out there that he's had to pay for, which would have been better to pay into a building that he could rent that space. So it's, we, at this stage, it is hard to balance the size of the building and the number of parking places. But I think retail use at 200, we figured at 200 square feet, we are showing not enough spaces, but I think we are required per code too many spaces for the furniture store. So say for instance, we're required 20 on the furniture, I think it's only five. So that brings our deficiency a lot narrower. You know, I think we're a lot closer.
I mean, that's fine as long as there is a furniture store there, but you know, in 20 years, there may not be a furniture store there.
Yeah, so I don't know, how do you deal, you have to deal with that in the future when you go back to planning and zoning and change the use of the building and then get a variance later for that.
Right. Yeah. Can't answer that.
And you're absolutely right. And the one other thing, with many dealings I've had with DelDOT for many years, they could wipe me out next year.
It could change 10 times.
Yes, yeah. You know, because Five Points has been a tricky intersection, as everybody knows here. Yeah.
One question I got, yes, and just looking at this, and I don't know if you've gotten feedback on this from another agency or not. The corner there by where your billboard is, I know that that's where folks are coming off of Savannah Road to turn onto Route 1. And there's kind of a right turn there, so you know, folks are naturally kind of looking to their left to see what kind of traffic's coming from northbound Route 1. And they're kind of looking not necessarily to them, but almost behind them coming up there as they're approaching that intersection, the way that curves around. I see that you have, the way your traffic pattern is that cars would be going, if a car is coming, approaching the intersection at Five Points off of Savannah Road to turn onto Route 1 North.
Correct.
They're going to be looking back here. You're going to have your traffic pattern kind of come in the opposite direction from them. Have you had any feedback from any agency as to that type of traffic pattern so close to the roadway there?
Well, first off, there's infrastructure of, I guess it's from DelDOT's boxes, traffic lights, poles that are kind of a buffer in between. And if you've ever come out on Savannah Road, your eyes aren't going to our furniture store. People don't see it. They're looking to the left to try to merge into northbound Route 1 traffic.
I understand. I guess what I'm looking at is if somebody's approaching that, they're looking, you know, they may have a car in front of them, they're looking over here, and then all of a sudden if they've got a car that is now coming at them on this way and catches the corner of their eye, I didn't know if there's any, and if you're saying there's a significant buffer there, so be it. I'm just wondering if you'd had any feedback on that point.
There's several utilities right along there. I personally, when I've come out of Savannah Road, I'm looking to what's coming, what I've got to merge into. I don't go to that. But, you know, if that is a concern, that's a simple of planting of trees to separate that would be a solution.
Yeah, I mean, I would think at a minimum there would need to be just something there to kind of segregate the parking lot area from the folks that are coming Savannah, because you're right, they're not necessarily looking right ahead of them, but you also want to have as few distractions as well off of that. And I know that kind of that area there is currently, for the most part, barren. You know, you've got grass and shrubbery.
There is a planting berm in that corner already.
Yeah. Now, will that be disturbed or will that remain?
It says to be adjusted. And to answer a little bit about your questions of traffic flow, this is mainly for fire access to get around the site.
Yeah, and I kind of figured that, you know, I was looking at it going, where's your fire? And I was suspecting that's probably where you're looking.
Yeah, that's the main traffic flow is so that we have fire access to all the buildings.
But, you know, I think Mr. Werfel asked you this point. Had you looked at developing this site in compliance with the code such that you could fit it? And if so, you know, what limitations did you note from that? You know, if you were to build this site in compliance, how much more would you be limited than what you currently are?
Well, I guess I haven't talked to Rob about that, but I guess the way I look at it is the property that we've lost over the years would we may not even have to be here today, working with DLDOT, working with the county, working with the expansion of the growth. I guess that's what I've looked at. We, you know, same when we did the billboard, you know, that billboard would have been out further and not. I mean, I was up in an aerial with Lynn trying to figure out how we're going to place this thing, you know, in one of his trucks. But again, that affected us because everything is, you know, we're being eaten by Route 1, and we've been eaten at least 2 to 3 times. So I guess that's why I'm asking for the consideration, or as they've had before, they wanted to wipe us out completely more than once, you know, in the workshops that I've been to. So,
well, this setback next to Five Points, I mean, it is a residential district. It seems like a variance could be granted, you know, for that. It's not going to be developed. There's no homes there. It's a pond. So I think a setback of 10 foot would be appropriate there. Same as we were abutting a commercial district, you know. I mean, it's got plenty of a buffer. If you went to the street view, you could see there's a great deal of buffer there already. This is then you go from residential to a highly commercial zone, and Mr. Ludman's right there on that line, but there aren't any residences on that. On his property line. So, I mean, he's already got quite a buffer already. To restrict him with another 10 feet, seem appropriate to do to have it, to abide by a 10-foot commercial setback.
What they have there is it's a whole walking path, and they have a large stormwater pond, and the closest house is probably 100, maybe 100, 150 feet away.
Yeah.
There's really nothing there. I don't think that's ever going to change. When I think Craig Hudson and Mike Lynn were the developers, both are no longer here.
The vinyl fence that said to remain or may remain, is that just on the side of the property, or does that wrap around the rear of the property also?
It's currently just on the back as shown, but there is a picket fence, I believe, that goes down parallel to that walking trail, right?
Okay.
Yeah, there's a split rail fence that the village has put up. Yeah.
Yeah.
that you can't see with the trees.
When was the Granite Shop building constructed?
Coleman Bunning built that in it was originally our warehouse back in the day. Coleman Bunning built that about 1987, 88, I believe.
And I'm guessing the location of that might limit where you could add the other retail buildings because of how it's situated on the lot. Is that?
In hindsight, I guess maybe that wasn't the, maybe that should have been pushed back all the way at the time, And maybe the regulations were a lot more lenient, than they are today.
Well, do you have a minimum square foot building that you would want to do, like 2,400? So I think I see what he said. If we had a 30-foot setback, that's going to push you out in front of the Granite Shop. So that's why we would want a 10-foot setback there, so we can push that building one as far back as possible.
And it was to get more parking also,
Yeah, and you need a little bit of maneuverability to get into the Granite Shop. There's trucks that come in to back up into that Granite Shop. I mean, pushing that setback, 30-foot really pushes that building up into the Granite Shop. And we'll lose that park. We'll lose even more parking. And we need to maintain that open area for trucks to come in and back up into the Granite Shop. So and it would be helpful to have that 10-foot.
So if you built building one to expand the Granite Shop, would the building one, would that then be their showroom?
Yes.
Is that the idea?
But, they're a small company, and I'm not counting on them to be the tenant. The concern was, for me, was not to block their visibility from Route 1. So if they were on the end, they would still have visual access to their business.
So are you not sure whether they actually need the extra space?
I'm not sure. I can't honestly say that they're going to take it. I don't know what they can afford to take it. They show very much interest. They say they want it, but if business climate changes, then the answer, they're not going to take it. It would be somebody else.
If we were to approve building one but not the other two buildings, would you then have enough room for parking?
You mean eliminate all the front?
The two buildings in the front, yes, two and three.
Yeah, I would.
At that point, you just wouldn't do it.
Well, I don't know. I would hope that wouldn't happen.
The problem I'm running into is we have pretty strict criteria for variances, and it's not something that I have any choice over. The criteria are what they are. I have to abide by the criteria. I don't have a choice in that. So when I see, you're trying to maximize it for profit, you don't have specific tenants lined up and to show a need for why you need this. It makes it hard for me to see how you meet the criteria.
Well, the needs, I guess, to answer your question is, I have a family. I have grandkids. I try to, as my parents have done all their life, as what we all try to do, is we try to plan and provide and give them a better life in the future. I would be more inclined to wanting the space along Route 1, that's just common sense, rather than one building in the back and nothing to be able to be built on the front. That just would be, if I had to lose something, I guess it would be that building, and it would be more important to me to have front Route 1 visibility, which just makes sense, just like our furniture store. It's always been an idea to move north and south of the existing store, along Route 1, as just like the outlets and all the rest of the businesses that are all over the place. And there's many, And I'm not targeting a restaurant to go in there. I don't necessarily want a restaurant in there. I'm not saying that I absolutely wouldn't, unless there was some kind of stipulation that you wouldn't allow a restaurant if you granted the retail space. I guess I'd have to live with that, you know.
Can you give me the list of the four variances again, please?
And may I say something else?
Sure.
I understand what you're saying, and I understand you have guidelines, but with DelDOT, with us working with DelDOT many times, and even losing an entire property where an existing store was going to be built, but to lose our property two to three times, I think that's relevant to the situation.
Anything else, Mr. Sharp?
I don't think so.
Okay, I think questions have been answered.
So the approval of this, I mean, one setback is it would be tough to approve one setback and not the other, because it's sort of a domino effect, isn't it? I mean, that affects the parking spaces.
Well, not necessarily. I mean, the board could, you know, one of the standards is, are the variances the minimum variances to afford relief? The board has, as you know, at times modified approvals by, or approving in part and denying in part, with the idea being that, yeah, you really can't do this without a variance.
Right.
But everything you're seeking is too much. I mean, we have done that before. Not often, but we have.
I was just thinking that the 113 parking spaces are based off of the square footage that is proposed, right? So let's say we don't approve one setback compared to the other, and that may affect whether they can fit that building in there or not. That's going to affect.
That part would affect.
You know,
I don't know what the impact would be on the calculation. Ms. Norwood would probably have to get her calculator out and measure the square footage and those things and come up with a number and determine whether or not a variance would still be needed, or if so, if it's a lesser one, obviously, at that point.
Okay. I mean, I appreciate the fact that you've been a long time property owner. You've worked with DelDOT. I'm sure it's been a challenge. My hesitation is the one that borders the residential area, not so much in the back, but the side, reducing that from 30 to 10. That's where I have some hesitation.
When you say the side, Mr. Hastings, are you talking about building one or?
Building one, yeah. Okay. Yep.
Yeah, because I guess that is the side. It's tough to looking at that, the
yeah,
side of the rear.
Well, that's what I was getting confused, whether that was the 20 foot or the five, but I see it says 20 to 10 on the side against the 5 points, so I'm assuming that's on that back side where the pond is, right?
Yeah, I believe that the building two would need a variance from that, as it's within the 30 feet of a residential district. And then building one would also need that same type of variance. Am I correct there, Ms. Norwood? I think the size of the variances may differ, but.
Well, if we call Route 1 is being considered the front yard. So that puts the side yard along Five Points and makes the rear yard back there by Building 1.
Okay. So what you were looking at then was a 10-foot variance from the 20-foot side yard for Building 2, and a 20-foot variance from the 30-foot rear yard variance for residential district for Building 1.
Right.
And then I also note, just because we have not, yeah, as I'm looking at it, one, two, three, we have six different variances that we're seeking, and they're of a different type, one of which is for the existing furniture store, which is one that is asked for. One is for the front yard for the proposed Building 2, then the 10-foot side yard variance from that. And then Building 3 would have a 20-foot rear yard variance needed. And then there's a 20-foot combined quarter highway overlay zone landscape buffer requirement variance, which we've not really discussed, but that's one where there's a certain level of vegetation that has to be along Route 1. I think the applicant here is asking for a waiver of that entire, is that correct?
Right.
So you wouldn't be putting shrubs or trees or anything along the border there with Route 1?
Wherever we could, we would plant, but it would mainly be in the corners of the property up front.
And I would imagine you would want that so that you have visibility for your business, but also not to create visibility issues along Route 1. Is that right?
I don't think you'd want that. I mean, I don't think you'd want shrubs and all that right there along Route 1 coming out of Lewis.
So that's a variance that you also have to consider as well. And you may need to look at them separately, because some of those are going to be different. I mean, obviously, one of them's for an existing building that's been there for quite some time, too. So there may need to be these are all very different types of requests, so you may want to look at them each separately, because that may, you may have a different analysis on them, or the same analysis, I don't know.
Yeah, I think we should look at them separately. Okay.
Lot to unpack on this one. No, no offense, it's just a lot to do there.
I understand.
Want to make sure that we're thorough with it.
I want to need a list.
I would be open to tabling it, so I have more time to analyze all this, because it's a lot to take in.
There is a lot to take in. Well, anyway, we're still in the midst here, so does that conclude your presentation, sir?
I'm sorry?
Does that conclude your presentation?
I got nothing else. It's getting late.
Okay. Well, you all may have a seat.
Okay.
Is there anyone present who would like to speak in favor of this case? Is there anyone present who would like to speak in opposition to this case? Anything else from the board? Mr. Werfel, I think you had an excellent idea.
So just procedurally, I know it's up to us for the setbacks and everything else, but this still goes to planning and zoning or county council or...
It won't go to, I don't believe it'll go to county council, because there's no change of zone involved, but it would go to planning and zoning for final site plan approval. And typically, they'll look at what the board's approved as part of that, and then if any agency approvals are needed, they'll look at that as well.
Okay.
At this time, I'll close the public hearing for case 12944 for Coastline Properties and entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I've got a motion, but I also had a couple of comments. It's because of the way the state statute's written, they have to have three votes, and there's only three of us. And it really puts applicants at a disadvantage sometimes.
I agree.
That's not really part of my motion, but it's just something I wish someone in the legislature would take another look at, because...
I think we should table this.
I agree. I move that case number 12944 for Coastline Properties LLC be tabled to the next meeting, so that'll close the record.
And there'll be no more comment on it at the next meeting. It'll just be...
be a chance?
Nope, it would just be a deliberation.
I don't think we need more comment, it's just my opinion.
And, yeah.
All right, second.
Second. Mr. Werfel?
Aye.
Mr. Hastings?
Aye.
And I too. A vote of 3-0, sir, your case is tabled.